format of our speaker series is speaker discussion. We have two speakers today for our tradition workshop. We're gonna do tradition three, and we have Rebecca for tradition three, and we have Andy speaking for tradition four. And to start us off, we have Rebecca. Both speakers will speak for approximately 20 minutes, at which time afterwards we'll go to a show of hands for anyone that would like to share or Q&A, your choice. Okay, and to start us off, we have Rebecca. Take it away.
Hello, everybody. My name's Rebecca. I'm a compulsive overeater. I want to check if I could get some help with timing.
Sure, I can absolutely time you, Rebecca. How would you like your time?
Could you tell me when there's 5 minutes left and 1 minute left, please?
Absolutely.
Great. So thanks, everyone. I really appreciate a chance to speak and be with you tonight. I'm going to talk on tradition three. And the way I learned tradition three was in my book. My sponsor sent me to the traditions. It was maybe I was a year in program before I knew there were traditions. I knew the steps. I had become familiar with steps, but not the traditions. And tradition three is the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And this book, perhaps before I get into the, for me, the lessons of tradition three, I'd like to tell you a moment just about what it was like for me before I was in program and after I was in program. I started as a teen with my mom and my grandmom on commercial weight loss programs. I went through an eating disorder clinic, a whole bunch of 1980s aerobics, compulsive running. I went to different holistic health counselors. None of this worked, and I was 55 years old, which is the age my dad was when he died. And I was binging and binging and binging, and it would be a long day of work and then come home, just a complete denial of what is happening. I would stop on the way home from work to get dinner. I'd say, oh, and I'll get lunch for tomorrow and dinner for tomorrow. And then I would eat from the time I got home till the time I went to bed. The physical toll was I was going to the doctor saying, I have indigestion, not explaining why. I was having to sit up at night, sometimes sleep upright, so that I was unable to digest the food. So I came to just a hopeless place. And fortunately, in that weekend where I just stayed in and ate, I realized that I had a little bit of information. Someone had told me about Overeaters Anonymous. I looked up where it was, and it turns out 3 days a week, right near the office I was working in, there was a meeting at lunchtime, and I went. And what happened to me was I came in feeling extremely lost, ashamed, unwilling to say the words compulsive overeater, knowing that I had to change, but being absolutely petrified of that. And so happily, there was a retreat for our intergroup, I think within like 6 weeks of when I started, and someone encouraged me to go, and I was like, I'm all in, I am lost, I need help. And I found a sponsor there, and she said to me, she was pushing me right from the beginning, but one of the things she said is, you're not the newest person in the room anymore. You must focus on welcoming newcomers and calling them after meetings. And I found people who were sometimes equally as lost as I was. I was still crying a lot in that time. But all of this relates to, and I've been in program for 5 years, and I serve on the intergroup. I am very, very grateful for the physical change, the emotional change, the spiritual change. And I come back to tradition three to say that I did feel when I came into the room that I was accepted, no matter my weight, no matter what I was describing, when I finally was willing to share about my food behaviors. This tradition reminds us there's nothing There's almost nothing that can get someone disqualified from coming as long as they have the desire to stop eating compulsively. And so that means we should focus on, you can't have a level of recovery, non-recovery, relapse, and be excluded from a meeting. There's no type of overeating or restricting that excludes you from a meeting. No weight gain, loss, that maintenance that can exclude you from a meeting. And all of us are on this journey of the 12 steps. And we say, and I was so happy to hear the statement of unity, which was a more recent kind of restatement of the third tradition, the unity and diversity, which is a reminder that we're all on this journey with the steps. We're all responsible to make sure that newcomers or people coming back get attention, feel part of the group, don't feel excluded. There was a section in this book about the third tradition that spoke about, you know, each group is autonomous. That's one of our additional traditions. But there was some controversy about what if the group requires you to have a certain level of abstinence or a certain something, any kind of qualification, certain kind of qualification to share. And our national organization considered this and said that these are competing, it's somewhat competing to say you can only participate by speaking when you have a certain qualification, like a certain number of days of abstinence, and the meeting should be autonomous and the group conscience should be able to adopt something like that. But there is a recommendation that if a meeting has that sort of a qualification, that there is a statement at the top that says that this is special to this meeting and doesn't reflect the requirements of OA to participate in other meetings. Our intergroup regularly does inventories and regularly reflects on how we're doing. And one of the things over this summer we realized is that as a majority white organization, we as in the white members on the board, didn't really know how it was for someone black or brown coming to intergroup or meetings. We knew that was a very small proportion of people who are black and brown coming to our meetings. So we took an inventory of our members and we did a quiz that you can see on oanyc.org. You know, our commitment was to say, oh, we're charged with being inclusive. We're charged with making sure people know they're not excluded for any reason. What is the experience of people who are coming to our meetings? And with that information, we ended up establishing a welcoming, I think it's a group, welcoming group, Andy might clarify for me. And it's a, you know, the purpose is to really get us sensitive to the fact of what is it like when someone comes to the meeting. And so while we might have an affinity to be with a person of our race or of our eating disorder, or of our history or of age or our sexual orientation, we must reach across boundaries and remember that somebody coming in who's in a minority of any of those may feel excluded and we might not be aware of it. So there's material on oanyc.org, the Welcome Committee questionnaire. And really we're focusing our membership on this tradition and how can we ensure that our organization is open and we don't have blinders because we have certain affinities. I think that that aspect, you know, there's been some members who are wondering like, oh, is that's against the traditions? Someone said to us, that's against the traditions to take into account race or sexual orientation. And what I felt myself was, I know how scared I was when I came to OA. I was really petrified. I knew I had to change and I really thought I couldn't. And I didn't really want to. I wanted somehow to eat like that and be healthy. you know, binging and somehow be healthy, you know, magical thinking. And that feeling of openness to learn in this program is the same feeling that we're bringing as an intergroup and encouraging meetings to be open to our inventory and our welcoming committee issues so that we can be as inclusive, diverse, and not have any inadvertent exclusions through our own blinders. So I think the other thing we we're reviving is to encourage meetings to adopt the unity and diversity policy in their formats if they don't have it. So I want to conclude with really thanks, you know, gratitude that I've somehow gotten to recovery that feels such a gift. My, you know, fear and absolute hopelessness was also a gift. And I do feel like I'm welcome in every meeting and want to make sure I'm welcoming others in all ways that I can to help meet the third tradition, that the only requirement is to the desire to stop eating compulsively. All right, I think that's all for me.
Thank you so much, Rebecca.